Does God cry? Is God a God of joy? Is God vulnerable? When we read the gospel, we see a very human Jesus. And he showed a lot of emotions. He felt a lot of emotions. And as a baby, he needed a mother and a father to take care of him, raise him, guide him, educate him. When Jesus preached, he was saddened and sometimes frustrated when people who listened to him walked away. And one time they did so was when he announced that he is the bread come from heaven, the living bread. Now, when some heard this, they questioned how this man named Jesus could give us his flesh to eat. And Jesus then told them that those who eat his flesh and drink his blood will abide in him, and he will abide in them. Some people found this difficult to accept, and they walked away. A disappointed Jesus then asked the apostles if they wished to leave, but they stayed. Now, when Jesus healed people, he often forgave their sins. The Pharisees could not accept Jesus forgiving sins. In one instance, Jesus encountered a man with a deformed hand. The Pharisees were upset because Jesus looked like he was going to heal this man on the Sabbath, and that would be breaking the laws of the Sabbath. But a furious and distressed Jesus then looked at the Pharisees with anger, and he was grieved at their hardness of heart. And then, looking at the man, he told him to stretch out his hand. He did, and he was healed. Jesus had considerable joy in his life and love, for he shared love with his Father and with all those he had around him. And he explained to us, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." But he had a range of emotions. On the sad occasion after he was told that his friend Lazarus had died, Jesus went to visit the grieving Martha and Mary. When he met them, they were crying. And the gospel tells us Jesus was deeply moved, and then Jesus wept. This wasn't the only time Jesus cried. When Jesus looked on Jerusalem on the day he entered it sitting on a donkey, we celebrate as Palm Sunday, he wept over the city and its people. And the gospel tells us why. Because the people did not recognize the time of their visitation from God, and they didn't understand the things that make for peace. And by the way, do we individually and as a culture recognize the things that make for peace? And this might be something to think about during Lent as we approach Palm Sunday and remember Jesus looking at the city and crying when he entered it. Just a few days later, he was praying on the Mount of Olives, and he was in profound agony and intense anxiety as he faced looming atrocious torture and horrific death. Recall his famous prayer, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done." And then Luke's gospel tells us that in anguish, Jesus prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The emotional intensity during the prayer of this peaceful man who came to bring healing and love to the world is astounding to me. But all was not yet done, because he felt even more abandoned as he was slowly dying on the infamous cross when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus felt empty, felt deserted, abandoned by his Father whom he had served every hour of his life. So we have just looked at the temptations and what happened to Jesus in his emotional life during his years of ministry. But then let's go backward now to the reading today, the temptations of Jesus. These are the temptations he had before he started his ministry. At Jesus' baptism, God the Father expressed his delight with him when he said, "A voice from heaven, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And Jesus must have been elated when he heard this compliment from his Father. And without delay, he walked into the wilderness for 40 days of solitude to prepare himself for his years of preaching and teaching, healing and forgiving, as he announced God's kingdom come to this world. During these 40 days of fasting, he was without food and water, and he was tempted. Those temptations went to who Jesus really is as true God and true man, because those temptations were to the Son of God. In the first temptation, the devil provokes Jesus with a big if. He tantalized the very hungry Jesus, appealing to his hunger, saying, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." And Jesus answers by reminding the tempter, "One does not live by bread alone." He further explains to the tempter that we live a full life when we listen to and obey every word that comes from the mouth of God. The devil goads him again with another big if. When he baits Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from this pinnacle." Jesus responds to the tempter by telling him he must not put the Lord our God to the test. In the final temptation, the tempter promises to give supreme worldly power to Jesus. And Jesus sees through this hollow promise and reminds him that we are to worship the Lord our God and serve only Him. So in the first temptations from Scripture, when I began this message, we see a very human Jesus emotionally responding to everything that happens in His ministry. But in the temptations in the wilderness, when Jesus was deserting His ministry, the temptations went to the very heart of who Jesus was, the Son of God and man in one person, and yet part of the Holy Trinity. Every Sunday, as we did today, we prayerfully sing the doxology. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever, world without end. Amen. In this prayer of praise, we acknowledge that Jesus, God and man, is integral in the Holy Trinity. And in John's Gospel, we learn that Jesus clearly announced, "The Father and I are one," and also declared, "Understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." In attempting to understand this mystery of God with us, I begin with our belief of the incarnate Jesus. As a fully human person, emotions were an essential part of Jesus' life. And emotions made him vulnerable to the people around him. So Scripture shows us Jesus was vulnerable. But is God the Father vulnerable? Yes and no. Explain. In his emotional life, Jesus was as vulnerable as you and I are vulnerable to love and hate, pleasure and pain, joy and sadness, indeed the entire myriad of emotions we have as people. And therefore, I firmly believe that Jesus' emotional vulnerability, as well as his intellectual understanding, mean that the divine persons of the Trinity are, in a sense, not just exposed to who we are, but experience us as human beings. Jesus was never protected from our emotions. His compassion, grief, anguish, loneliness, joy, all made Jesus vulnerable. And as vulnerable, he was able to be one of us and to share with who we are. What does this mean for us? To me, it means that I can place my confidence in a Trinitarian God who is fully able to understand me, to understand me through Jesus. To me, it means that I'm extremely comforted because Jesus knows what I can feel. I'm a flawed human being. I make mistakes in life, many of them. I do things I shouldn't. I can't even lose the weight I want to lose. I think things I shouldn't. I judge in ways I shouldn't. Because of my mistakes and errors and wrongs and sins, I turn to God and neighbor and ask for forgiveness. And when I ask for forgiveness from God, I'm assured that Jesus entirely understands me. And therefore, God's Holy Spirit, who guides and counsels me, also understands me. And God the Father understands, accepts, and forgives me. And yet I ask the question, since Jesus is true God and true man, and because Jesus is the second person of the divine Trinity, does the vulnerability which Jesus experienced also extend to God the Father and the Holy Spirit? Back up again. When Jesus was baptized, Scripture tells us God the Father was pleased. When the God-man Messiah was beginning his ministry, he was tempted as Son of God. When he was preaching and working among us, he was vulnerable emotionally as Son of Man. In the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross, he suffered abandonment by his Father. Then, through his resurrection, he was raised to divine glory and union with his Father in the Spirit. So we are tempted in so many ways which take us away from God. And if our responses to temptation are like Jesus, then we will not put the God to the test. We will not test our God. And if we truly desire to live a joyful and fulfilled life, then we should strive to live in accord with every word that comes from the mouth of God. When the temptations which the tempter offered Jesus appeal to us, chasing after false gods, wanting more in life, glory, power, then we are reminded to worship the Lord our God and serve only Him. So I wonder, do what people say, and how people act affect God? People affected Jesus. Now, theologically, we are unequivocally told that who God is can never be altered by who we are. Yet in John's Gospel at 3:16, we are told, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." The man Jesus was not a robot. He was a person with emotions. He was a person who had mind and body. He was the person of flesh and blood, and it is this flesh and blood that by how we remember Him when we celebrate Holy Communion. So if Jesus made Himself open and vulnerable to us, shouldn't we be open and vulnerable to Him? And how can we be vulnerable to God through neighbor? Well, we do so when we treat each other with love and compassion, and often we don't know what their responses are going to be. We are vulnerable when we show mercy, when we forgive when we are hurt. And we all know it is so hard to forgive. When we open ourselves to be sensitive to the needs of those around us. And we make ourselves vulnerable to God when we accept that we are very reliant on God. And we're not reliant at all on what the tempter offers us, hollow promises. Jesus shows us that being vulnerable, we open ourselves up to sadness, we open ourselves up to tears, but also to joy, and also to a close sharing with the life of Jesus. So I leave you with the question that I asked at the beginning of this message. Does God cry? Jesus did. Amen.